Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're continuing to discuss the fallout from the protests that we have heard about in China we talked about at the end of yesterday's episode. I have learned a little bit more on that situation after some discussions with some people in China, so I wanted to pass those along. Then we've also got a customer loyalty update from IHS Market, some macro news, and some news from competition. First, we'll take a look at the stock. Tesla today having a strong day, rising throughout the day, as did the macro environment. Tesla up 3.5% to $744.12. That compared to the NASDAQ up 1.2%. So Tesla shaking off the drop that we'd seen earlier this week and now sits at just above the level that it closed at last week as we approach earnings again after market close on Monday. All right, so continuing our conversation from yesterday and just to catch people up quickly, we're talking about a protest at Tesla's display at the Shanghai Auto Show. This is the second protest by the same woman in about a month and a half. She's claiming that the brakes failed in her father's Tesla Model 3 when he was driving, causing an accident. Tesla claims there were no signs of any brake failure. And my understanding is that both parties have been waiting on a third-party inspector to reach some sort of resolution. So anyway, at the Shanghai Auto Show, this woman came and stood on top of Tesla's display vehicle, shouting, Tesla brakes fail, over and over. This has gone viral in China. The protester has been detained for 5 days by the police, and I think the Global Times here covers Tesla's actions well, saying, quote, "The protest instantly set off an uproar over Tesla's vehicle malfunctions, with the Central Political and Legal Affairs Commission posting a commentary on its official WeChat account on Tuesday that upbraided Tesla for its disregard of Chinese consumers' rising concerns about car quality. The protest has caused a barrage of criticism that prompted Tesla, which had initially taken a non-compromising stance, to issue a late-night apology on Tuesday, vowing to cooperate with the regulators in all related investigations. The company has created a special task force to deal with the consumers' complaints," said the Tesla statement, "and the company will try its best to satisfy the car owners' requests in accordance with the laws and regulations," end quote. So we've been hearing really mixed things out of China for Tesla for the last couple of months. You may remember that back in February, Tesla was asked to speak with Chinese government officials about quality and consumer rights. Of course, in Q4, we had the Model S and X suspension recall just in the China market, a decision that Tesla did not agree with, but didn't want to carry the, quote, heavy burden through the Chinese administrative process, end quote, to not go through with the recall. But then on the other hand, we have Shanghai pumping out Model 3s, Model Ys, selling 35,000 units in China in March, completely obliterating all other electric vehicles except for one that costs $4,000. Then we've got reports in March that the Model 3 receives the fewest number of complaints at less than one for every 10,000 vehicles sold. That's 1/50th the average for passenger cars in China. So going by the numbers, Tesla seems to be doing very well, but there seems to be a disconnect in the social perception and the coverage in the media, and perhaps at times some of Tesla's actions have exacerbated a little bit of that sentiment. So, sounds familiar, right? This is not something that's new for Tesla. Tesla has lived through these periods of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD, for a long time, and I certainly don't want to dismiss any of those concerns, and we'll continue to try to get more information on the situation, but this seems to be playing out in a heavy way right now in China. We had a longtime subscriber comment on yesterday's video saying that this protest is a much bigger deal than initially it might appear. Things like this spread like wildfire in China. I've heard from multiple people that the vast majority of comments have been negative towards Tesla on these highly visible social media posts. One owner telling me, quote, "The media is attacking Tesla intensively. Every single Tesla crash or accident are being put under the microscope. I'm in a Tesla customer WeChat group. The morale is definitely low, but customers still overwhelmingly support Tesla," end quote. Again, though, haven't we seen this forever with Tesla? Isn't every Tesla crash under a microscope? This just feels a lot like what we've been through here in the US. If you go on US social media, heck, depending on where you're at, all the comments are still going to be negative towards Tesla in some of those cases. But the concern here is that the Chinese market and its unique characteristics could mean things play out a little bit differently and potentially with more impact. I mean, I think Tesla apologizing in the circumstance is direct evidence of the differences here. I don't think we would have seen anything like that from Tesla in the US. Anyway, today the social media intensity in China has continued on this protest. Again, from that contact in China, quote, "Grace Tao, VP, was supposed to speak during a session in today's Bao Forum for Asia Annual Conference, but she did not attend. There are definitely rumors swirling around, especially she is at the focal point of this dispute," end quote. They shared with me an article on that news, and it already has 3.8 million views. So the overall point here just being that this is getting a ton of attention in China. My overarching belief is that eventually truth will win out. Tesla will deliver enough cars to enough people that word of mouth from actual vehicle owners will take hold. I think that's happening to large degrees in circles of the United States, and I think eventually those circles continue to grow internationally. And while certainly there are cultural differences, Chinese people are not just going to look at Chinese media, they're going to be looking at Tesla and its international presence. And as Tesla continues to be successful in other countries, continues to be seen as a really aspirational and cool brand, those things are inevitably going to have an influence in China as well. And look, just because this is getting a lot of attention right now, it's not to say the entire situation is all bad. We have a tweet here from Ray for Tesla today, showing huge numbers of people checking out Tesla's display at the Shanghai Auto Show. We've also got a report here yesterday per Tasmanian that Tesla's going to be building its own data center in Shanghai. Tesla's obviously continuing to invest heavily in China, continuing to expand Giga Shanghai. And let's not forget that so far the Chinese government has seemed to be relatively highly supportive of Tesla in China, with Tesla being the first wholly owned foreign automaker in China. So, not trying to raise any alarm bells here by any means, just trying to provide thorough coverage of something that is a little bit difficult for us to get an understanding of outside of China at times. Next here, we've got some new information on Tesla in India. Tesla Club India has done some LinkedIn sleuthing, and they have found that Tesla has hired three new executives, one for policy and business development, one charging manager, and one country HR leader. So definitely some good steps there for people to have in place. Then we also have a report from Tasmanian that Tesla has selected a location for where it wants to position its first corporate office and store in India. I think we've already had a lot of, reporting that didn't necessarily end up to be fully accurate on this specific topic for India. So I'm not putting a ton of weight into this. It sounds like they have selected Mumbai, but not a specific property yet, just a general area. So I would imagine without a property secured, that decision could probably still change. Another quick HR story here today. Electrek is reporting that Tesla's acting general counsel, Al Prescott, the guy that kicks off the annual shareholder meetings, has left Tesla, interestingly, for a LiDAR startup named Luminar to be their chief legal officer. So not really too much to say on that. Obviously, you wouldn't expect that to impact Tesla too significantly. Really just noteworthy because this is a LiDAR startup and someone coming from Tesla, always a little bit intriguing, but probably not the most important sign coming from legal. Regardless, best of luck to Al on that move. Next here, we have a study from IHS Market. Every year, they look at automotive loyalty based on consumer purchases. Unfortunately, they don't share much detail behind this, but Tesla was recognized in a couple of categories. The most important, I think, highest conquest percentage. That went to Tesla, so Tesla taking the most sales from other brands. It's pretty intuitive with Tesla growing at the rate that it is growing. Kind of has to be that way. Tesla also had the highest alternative powertrain loyalty and the highest Asian market loyalty to make. Interestingly, for the second year in a row, General Motors took the highest overall loyalty to manufacturer, Ford took the highest overall loyalty to make. I would have assumed based on the F-150, but it looks like the Ram 1500 actually took the light-duty pickup segment, though the Ford F-Series did take the heavy-duty pickup segment. Hopefully in a few years we'll see the Cybertruck on one of these lists. Alright, next up here we've got just a little bit of macro news. The Wall Street Journal today is reporting that, quote, the Biden administration is moving to end a legal battle with California over the state's authority to regulate motor vehicle emissions, setting the stage for stricter regulations on the auto industry, according to people briefed on those plans, end quote. So this goes back to an issue that we've talked about quite a bit. Under a waiver to the Clean Air Act, California had the right to set stricter emission standards than the nation as a whole. So with California being the biggest state market, this has a lot of influence on automakers' decisions in terms of how they structure their lineup. Although hopefully we're getting to the point where there are other bigger influencing factors. But it'll be interesting to follow what California does, assuming the Biden administration allows California to go back to setting stricter standards. Sounds like something on this may be announced Friday, so just as an FYI, over the next couple of days, Biden will be engaging in a world leader climate summit. That's on the 22nd and 23rd. So there could be a little bit more news related to climate change, electric vehicles, etc. over the next couple of days. Next here, just a few updates on the broader automotive market. First up on Ford. So we've been hearing from automakers that the chip shortages struggles there do continue. Ford here today, per Automotive News, suspending production of the F-150 and the Ford Explorer for 2 weeks at the beginning of May. So problems do persist here in the automotive sector. It didn't look like Tesla was too impacted in Q1. Maybe on the S and the X, that delay is not totally clear yet. And I meant to mention this yesterday when we talked about the Say questions. I do think a semiconductor question would have been a good question, but I did not ask it because I think this is going to be at the top of the list for analysts to ask about. Remember, a lot of these guys are in the automotive segment, so they're talking and thinking about this chip shortage all the time. They're getting questions about it from clients. And it's a great box to check in terms of a question because it addresses a risk that's relatively short-term in nature. There are a few things that Wall Street is more interested in talking about, so I definitely expect that to be asked. And again, I do think it's a good question, so hopefully we'll get some more information from Tesla about their situation there on the call. Next year, we've got some new information on the upcoming Cadillac Lyriq. So GM says this is going to start production in the first quarter of 2022. They have today announced the price. It's going to start under $60,000. Not a bad price. I think it would be sort of competitive with the Ford Mustang Mach-E, a little bit higher. Kind of depends how the rest of the specs come in. But GM does say this will have a range of above 300 miles. I think they've been pretty accurate with their range estimates. Looks like the charging is going to be capped a little bit low, so 195 kilowatts max. And it does say it'll have a 100 kilowatt hour battery pack, so quite a bit larger than the what we believe to be somewhere around 80 kilowatt hours now on the Model Y for what should end up being pretty similar range. So doesn't look like the best efficiency. It's probably not a great cost margin structure for GM. But again, depending on how the rest of the specs come in, I think it could be a decent offering from Cadillac. And this will be using GM's Ultium battery platform. Next here, just a quick update on the Porsche Taycan. So Porsche had actually released their Q1 sales figures about a week ago. Electrek did post about it today though, so thought it worth mentioning. Porsche announced that they sold 9,072 Taycan cars in the first quarter. That represents about 12.5% of their total sales. And that quarterly number was about the run rate that we'd been seeing the Model S come in at for those last, I don't know, 4 quarters or so before the refresh was announced. Because those are close, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts on that. So first of all, this is the first really full year of selling for the Taycan. I think they've sold about 30,000 units in total now. So it's not necessarily the fairest comparison to look at one quarter of sales for the Taycan and compare them to the Model S's quarterly sales after being on the market for, you know, 7-8 years. You know, there's already, what, 300,000, 400,000 Model S's in the market, whereas the Taycan is still very much in that early stage, sort of first wave of demand, which 7 or 8 years from now could definitely change from the level that it's at, again, in kind of this first year. With the Model S too, you've got to factor in the impact from the Model 3, pretty stellar offering from Tesla at a lower price, plus high expectations of an imminent refresh, which we have now seen come to fruition. Once Tesla gets production up and running on that refresh, sales should return to above that 9,000 per quarter level. So again, not a knock on the Taycan, I think that's actually a really good number, but I did get a question about that today, so wanted to share my thoughts. Two quick scheduling updates here to wrap it up. NASA and SpaceX have announced that they are now targeting 5:49 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, April 23rd, so about a day delay here for the Crew 2 mission, but never fear, you'll still have some entertainment tomorrow morning. I'm doing a presentation at the Benzinga Small Cap Conference, be discussing investing in Tesla. I think it'll be a nice presentation. That's going to be at 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow morning, April 22nd. That's 1:05 p.m. UTC. So I'll put the link to watch that live in the show notes. I'll tweet it out as well. You can find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. But other than that, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, April 22nd episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.